This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes. Act One, from shock and awe until mission accomplished, took 42 days.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Act Two.
And now our coalition is engaged in securing and reconstructing that country.
Hey, Act Two took more than 6 years. This morning, Act Three begins in Iraq, and the original cast is long gone. As U.S. troops withdraw from Iraqi cities, what is the mission now? Getting out alive. T-minus 2 years and counting. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Tuesday, June 30th, a historic day in Iraq. I'm John Hockenberry, and more about the new mission in that country in just a moment. Also on the program, a look at the end of the Supreme Court term, a judicial rebuke for a Supreme Court nominee, the mystery in the Atlantic concerning Air France Flight 447, and the Jackson family. It's an ensemble of lawyers now. Also, I'm joined this morning by The Takeaway's Todd Zwillick. Hey, co-host.
Hey, John. Good morning. Good to be here.
You know, it's hard to believe 6 years since mission accomplished, and we're just withdrawing from the cities there in Iraq. Well,
start of that war, John, the critics said it would be a 40-year commitment. So I'm looking forward to see, you know, after 6 years and we're pulling out of the cities, how much longer are we going to be there in the countryside? Well, that's the question.
2011. That's supposedly the deadline. Yeah. We will see. Well, more on that this morning. But first, in the headlines, the story just coming in this morning, police say a toddler has been rescued from a passenger jet that crashed in the Indian Ocean today. 153 people were on board the Airbus from Yemen. We'll have more details on that all morning long. The transfer of power, as I said, in Iraq is now complete. U.S. troops have pulled out of Iraqi cities as part of the security agreement with Iraq. Four U.S. soldiers were killed in combat in Baghdad right before the midnight deadline. On the line now from Washington, D.C. is Professor Gary Solis, retired U.S. Marine with 26 years experience, who teaches military law at Georgetown University. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, John.
To use the language of George W. Bush there a moment ago, how much of this Act 3 in Iraq is, quote, securing and reconstructing that country, do you think?
I think very little. I think that our mission now is drawdown and security. Reconstruction is largely out of our hands now.
Well, we're going to continue our examination of this new day in Iraq. And do you think it's an Act 3, or would you call it something more?
No, I think it's definitely an Act 3. It's a clean break from what's gone before, and its success, of course, is problematic and remains to be seen.
Well, thank you, Professor. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Continuing with the headlines, here in the U.S., the Food and Drug Administration votes today on whether certain cold medicines like NyQuil should be pulled from the market. Remedies sometimes lead to overdoses, and a few big economic indicators to watch out for later this morning. We learn the Home Price Index, which tracks monthly changes in the value of real estate in the United States, as well as the Consumer Confidence Index. So, confident, Todd Zwillick. What are the markets doing, and what do we got for takeaway listeners this morning?
Down on Wall Street, John, yesterday an update. The Dow rose 1.1% to close at 85.29. The S&P rose 0.9% to close at 927. The NASDAQ rose 0.3% to close at 1844. Well, in yesterday's sentencing of Bernie Madoff, John, the judge called his crimes, quote, extraordinarily evil. But is there really such a thing as evil? Has that term been diluted? We're looking for examples of things that you think are truly evil. Is it Bernie Madoff? Is it something else? Let us know. Call us at
87- Madoff scale of evil.
The Madoff scale. 8778 my take at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
You're hearing it right there, the mood in Baghdad. Iraqi forces have assumed formal control of security in that city and other cities in Iraq after U.S. combat troops withdrew from urban areas. 6 years after the invasion, a countdown clock broadcast on Iraqi TV ticked to zero as the midnight deadline passed for combat troops to pull back. In Iraq, they're actually celebrating this day as National Sovereignty Day. On a more somber note, four U.S. soldiers died last night in Baghdad following a series of bombings last week that killed nearly 160 people combined. So joining us now to get some insight into how Iraqis feel about the U.S. troop departure is Nazar Janabi, former Director General for Defense Policy in the Iraqi Ministry of Defense. He joins us from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Nazar Janabi, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
All right, continuing with us is Professor Gary Solis, who's a retired U.S. Marine with the 26 years experience who teaches military law at Georgetown University. Nazar, let me begin with you, though. How do you explain this sense of real celebration? I mean, there was violence leading up to this deadline, and we've gotten used to a sense of tense, incremental progress in Iraq, but not a lot of joy.
Well, it's very understandable that Iraqis feel very jubilant today because they have regained, or it's a certain deadline that gave Iraqis back their destiny, their control over their country. It has been several years now since the beginning of the invasion in 2003, and Iraqis had felt that they did not have any control over their fate. And incrementally, they had increased their control over their destiny. And since Maliki's government took over, we have noticed that trend of experience saying how Iraqis are independent, how the Iraqi decision is for Iraqis only, negotiating the SOFA agreement and taking some tough stance in the negotiation process and setting deadlines for the American troops to be out of Iraq. This was something that could not even be discussed 2 years ago. Iraqis did not have the power or the confidence in their capabilities to discuss this with the Americans, and now it's a day that the Iraqis feel that they have taken control over the fate of their country.
Well, let's talk about moving forward then. If there's confidence to celebrate today, what is the mission for Iraqi security forces? Is it to hold the line, or is the mission more to make political gains, to reach some sort of agreement with the Kurds, to actually implement an oil law? What are the things that Iraqis are actually waiting for?
Well, for the Iraqi security forces, their job is to take over from Americans and keep the country secure, keep the levels of violence at minimum. And this is something to be seen. Although everyone is celebrating, but everyone also is anticipating or being extremely careful of what is going to happen next. How are the terrorists? How are the extremist group are going to react to the withdrawal of the American forces?
Well, that's certainly the big question. Professor Gary Solis in Washington, D.C., that raises immediately the question of what is the U.S. mission right now? Is it to stay out of sight and to quietly pull back, or is it to conduct air support missions for the Iraqis? I mean, how would you describe the mission at this point?
Well, I think it's a unique mission. Anytime you have a counterinsurgency, the population is the prize, the objective. And so, as Mr. Janabi indicated, security is the primary mission. So American forces are, in effect, I believe, going to prove to be the 911 force for Iraqi security forces. If they get into a firefight or a situation in which they can't control the outcome, they're going to call for American reinforcements and air support. So our mission is to provide backup, to provide additional firepower to the Iraqi forces, whose mission is to provide security for the population.
General, this is Todd Zwillick. Do you have a sense that violence is almost destined to flare up in the short term in Iraq? And I'll ask the same question to Mr. Janabi afterward. But, a lot of the good reporting from the street, from people in Baghdad and other cities, says, well, there are still organized militias who are just waiting for this moment, and there will be a flare-up. Are we prepared for that?
Absolutely, and we're already seeing it, of course, a spike in the bombings, a spike in the deaths for U.S. KIAs last night. So I think it's inevitable that we're going to see an increase in violence. But much of it is not effective. It's for the press primarily. The question is, will we approach some tipping point in which violence flares, in which the Iraqi populace looks to sectarian units, sectarian forces to provide security? And if that happens, we could be in very serious trouble. Both sides have such a grave stake in the success of the Iraqi forces in providing security that we're going to do everything we can to help the Iraqis. And I think we will find that U.S. forces aren't entirely out of the picture as much as the newspapers may be indicating right now.
Right. Well, sorry, Professor. I may have promoted you there to general. Probably wasn't so bad for
you.
I'll take it. Mr. Janabi, what about you? From your knowledge of Iraq, do you think that a large flare-up in violence in what might be a vacuum is inevitable over the next couple of weeks and months?
Well, there will definitely be attempts from extremist group to flare up the violence. The question is, how would the Iraqi forces, or how capable the Iraqi forces is to respond to these, to follow up? The Iraqi forces lack some of the fight enablers, the logistical support, the air power, the intelligence. Although the intelligence, the United States and the troops had built up a certain network of local intelligence, and I'm hopeful that after the Americans had moved out of the cities, they had passed on this information to the Iraqis so they could follow up on the intelligence in neighborhoods that was occupied by the Americans. With that intelligence, it would be very helpful for the Iraqi forces to counteract whatever these extremist groups are planning to do.
Well, certainly the extension of the counterinsurgency effectiveness of General Petraeus by the security forces in Iraq is going to be the main, I guess, goal and mission at this point. Let me go back, Gary Solis, to this idea of a 911 force, okay? I mean, which sounds very simple and straightforward, but I'm wondering if there are rules of engagement in there. I mean, is there a sense, don't call us about this, but call us about this? We don't want to be running around all the time, air support only, troops only in this situation. Can you speculate maybe a little bit about what the rules of engagement are here? Because it's politically sensitive.
Oh, absolutely, and it's the political sensitivity that makes all the difference. In other words, you can't just simply call for an airstrike, an American airstrike, because you're having problem in a certain firefight. There has to be a level of conflict which is not unique, but which is very high before Americans can get involved. Because, as you say, the political imperative is now playing as much a role as the combat imperative. And so there has to be a delicate balance between the two. And I think we're going to have to see that worked out on the ground. I don't think that you can, in the abstract, before the event arises, lay out a bright line test. And so this is something I think that over the coming weeks and probably even the coming months, we're going to see mistakes made. We're going to see a few successes, a few failures.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Ray Odierno, the general who's the top U.S. commander in Iraq, was speaking all weekend long, and I don't have time to play the actual sound for you, but he sounded very confident, but it also seemed like between the lines he was lowering expectations a little bit here. Is that your impression?
Yes, it is, and I think that's a wise step to take, a wise tack to take, that is lower expectations, because inevitably there are going to be some sad, you know, you don't want to use the term failures, but there are going to be some incidents where it doesn't work out well, where the insurgent forces are going to prevail in a given firefight. We have to keep our eye, however, on the long on the long goal, not the individual firefight. So it's not a day-by-day thing. It's going to be a month-by-month thing.
Takeaway is maybe a mission not yet accomplished. Professor Gary Solis, a retired U.S. Marine, teaches military law at Georgetown University. Thanks so much. And Nizar Janabi, former Director General for Defense Policy and Requirements in the Iraqi Ministry of Defense. Thanks to both of you.
Thank
you. My pleasure.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.